talk a little bit, and I'm going to hopefully I'll get to where you'll understand how this ties together. About we've got to stand, but we've got to stand where God tells us to. And when He tells us to. And how He tells us to. And we've got to be willing to do that. But we've got to find out, first of all, where He wants us to stand and how He wants us to stand and where He wants. We've got to find out all that stuff out and then stand. Turn in your Bibles tonight to the book of Acts, chapter number 8. I'm only going to read one verse of Scripture tonight. I know what time it is, and I'll be as brief as I can be. But I sure have enjoyed today. Man, I'm so full. That song those kids sang, that maybe means a little bit more to some than others, but that little phrase in there that, all gave some, but some gave all. Where I live and where I stand, that means a whole lot more to me than maybe it does to some. Wednesday, yesterday, they had a memorial service there at Fort Campbell for 18 soldiers who gave all. You see, I am a soldier. I spent 20 plus years in the military. I am a soldier. Once a soldier, always a soldier. You can't ever stop being one. And whenever I hear that we've lost another one, it hurts. But God's put me there to stand. And that song means a whole lot to me. If you found your place, if you'd stand, please. Give you a chance to stretch your legs one more time, and I think we ought to reverence the Word of God. They stood up when, was it Ezra? They stood up when Ezra read it. So I figured if he can do it, we can too. Acts chapter 8, don't you look at verse 26. And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise and go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. I want you to notice who the angel's talking to, Philip. I want you to notice he tells him to do something. He says, arise and go. And then he tells him where to go and how to get there. And tonight I want to talk a little bit about this thought. What you'll find in the desert. Father, we ask you to bless. Lord, in this time, Lord, I need your strength. I need your might. I need your power. Lord, our heart is so full tonight from all that we've heard today. Lord, I could just close my Bible and go home and be completely satisfied that you've met with us today. But Lord, for some reason, you've chosen to allow me the opportunity to preach tonight. So God, use me. Help me be a blessing to your people. And Father, I pray that you'd use us for your honor and glory. For we ask and pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. By way of introduction, let me just say some things about, if you look at the life of Philip, there's some things that you'll see in Acts chapter 6. You'll find Philip's Christianity. The Bible said, call out seven men full of faith and of the Holy Ghost. And by the way, he was one of those. So obviously he knew the Lord and he knew he was saved and he had been filled with the Holy Ghost of God. And so we can see that in Acts chapter 8. You can see Philip's compassion in dealing with the Samaritans. in Acts chapter 8 and in Acts chapter 21, you can find Philip's calling. He was an evangelist. Loved to tell people about the Lord. We can see in Acts 21 also that I believe Philip's charity or his love, because he loved men of God. He started out in Acts chapter 6 aiding men of God, and I don't believe he ever got away from aiding the men of God. In Acts chapter 21, listen, Philip had children. I believe he raised them right. In Acts chapter 8, you can also find Philip's commission. The angel said, go. What choice did he have? Now listen, if you go look in chapter 8, you'll understand that when the angel came and spoke to Philip, there was a whole lot of good things going on where Philip was. I mean, God was meeting there. People were being saved. The church was growing. And lives were being changed there where Philip was. And right in the middle of what I guess we would consider revival, right in the middle of the moving and the working of God, the angel of the Lord comes to Philip and says, I want you to get up from here and I want you to go yonder. Now that's southern prayer phrase for Acts chapter 8 verse 26. He said, get up and go. Now I don't know about you, but I don't know too many people that stand in line desiring to go to the desert. I've been to the desert over in the Middle East. I was in the first Gulf War. And I can tell you in the desert there's nothing. Okay, miles and miles and miles of nothing. Hot. Miles. I mean, listen, you can sit and you can see all the way to the horizon and see nothing. I've been to the desert in reality. But like some of you, I've been to the desert spiritually. I don't know about you, but if I'd have been Philip and I'd have been in that move of God and I'd have been in that revival and I would have been in all those people getting saved. Listen, Brother Dave said it this morning, nothing more exciting than seeing somebody get saved. And here Philip is in the middle of that revival, seeing people get right with God and lives being changed. And right in the middle of it, the angel says, get up and go. I believe I'd have had to said, wait a minute. Wait a minute. Why do you want me to leave this and go down to the desert? Lord, I know what's down there. I know what's in the desert. I've already been through Gaza. I've already been that way. I already know what's there. Why do you want me to go back to the desert? I don't know about you, but that's just probably how I'd have been with God. But there were some things that Philip was going to find in the desert that would make the trip worth it. Now, before I get there, let me say a couple things about the desert, because there's some things I need to warn you about the desert. Number one, it is a hot place. The day I left Saudi Arabia in May of 1991, it was 126 degrees in the shade. I don't know how hot it was in the sun. It was 126 degrees in the shade. You could take, listen, we actually did this. You could take a piece of aluminum foil, lay it on top of a truck, and let it sit there for about 15 minutes and take an egg and crack on the aluminum foil and it would cook. So the desert is a hot place. The heat is turned on when you get in the desert. Not only is it a hot place, but it's a hard place. Not many things survive in the desert. You don't see a lot of growth of things in the desert. There's not a lot of beauty dwelling in the desert. Why, preacher? Because it's a hard place. Can I say, third, it's a hazardous place. If you're not careful, you'll die in the desert. If you're not careful, you'll die there. Resources, now listen, I'm going somewhere, so please just hang in there. Resources are not as great in the desert as they are where Philip was.
The resources where Philip was were a lot greater than the resources of where he was headed. There's not a lot of resources in the desert. That's why God had to give a pillar of cloud by day and a fire by night. That's why he had to give them water out of a rock, because there's not many rivers running in the desert. It's a hazardous place. One of the only ways to keep from dying in the desert is to keep walking. At least that's what they told us when we got there. If you get lost, just keep walking. You'll find something. That was a lie. You could walk for days and not find nothing. Hey, I'm just saying to you tonight that it's a hazardous place. It's a humble place. It's a humble place. What do you mean, preacher? Nobody sees you in the desert but God. You see, in the desert, nobody sees you but God. It's a humble place. Sometimes it's where God has to send us to humble us. Because when we're in the excitement and everything of what was going on where Philip was, we get caught up in all that excitement. And if we're not careful, we'll lose being humble. And we'll start feeling that we are something, and that we are somebody, and that we are making a difference in us, and we're doing it. And no, we're not. We've got to make sure that we stay humble and understand it ain't about us. It's not us. It's God. And when we lose and get to the place where we're no longer humble enough to admit that it's not us and it's God, we've gotten to a bad place. And that's where we're at in our country today. We're so proud that we can't admit that we've done wrong. We can't admit that we're doing wrong. And we can't turn back to God. Why? Because we've gotten so arrogant and proud in America. It's time to get on our knees and get humble with God again. Maybe God needs to send all of us to the desert. Number five, the desert is also, listen, the desert can be a holy place. You see, I believe that God likes to do special things in the desert. Do you remember a guy by the name of Moses who looked up and saw a bush that was burning and not being consumed? You know what that got Moses' attention? I believe I'll turn aside. And he got up to where it was, and he heard a voice out of the bush say, "Take off your shoes, because the place where thou standest is holy ground." Sometimes the desert can be a holy place. Listen, just because you're in the desert does not mean that God's not working. You may be here tonight and you may feel like you're in a desert place and it's hot and hazardous and all those things, and you may feel like that God's forsaken you and that God's left you behind and that you're in this place. I'm telling you, sometimes God has to get us to the desert in order to work on us, because He doesn't stop working just because we're in the desert. You see, that's the problem. We get in the desert and we get woe is me syndrome. Woe is me. Why, Lord, why couldn't I stay back there where all the action was? Why are you sending me down here where there's nothing but desert? Why am I down here? Philip had to finally understand, and he will, and we'll get there. He understood that just because he was down there didn't mean God wasn't working. God was working before he went there. You see, God's working all this out already. He already knew all this. Listen, God was already working, but Philip didn't know He was working. And sometimes that's the way it is with us. God's working, we just don't know He's working. Some things. What you'll find in the desert. Now understand, let me go back just a minute and then I'll get on. Philip was there where the revival was happening. Things were going good, people being saved, word being preached. I mean, listen, probably shouting, praising God, all that stuff going on. And right in the middle of that, God said, "Philip, I want you to get up from all of this
and I want you to go down. He said, go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. God was working even in the desert. If you're here tonight and you feel like you're in the desert, hey, listen, God's still working. I want you to notice some things that you can find in the desert. You see, you say, preacher, how does this tie into standing? Because at this particular time in Philip's life, his job was to go to the desert and stand. His job was not to stand in Jerusalem. His job was not to stand where the revival was. His job was not to stand where all the excitement was. God said, no, I want you to leave this. I want you to go to Gaza, down to the desert, and stand. Number one, you'll find sinners in the desert. You'll find sinners in the desert. You say, but preacher, he told Philip to go down to the desert. He didn't say anything. Oh, but wait a minute, you got to read the story. When he got down to the desert, what did he find? He found an Ethiopian eunuch in a chariot leaving Jerusalem, going back because he had been to Jerusalem to worship. Right. And he's headed back and he's reading the Bible. Imagine that, reading the Scripture. And when Philip gets to the desert where God's told him to go, where Philip knows there's nothing, he knows it's desert, he knows there's not anything down there, and yet he still obeys God. He said, okay, if that's where you want me to stand, I'll go stand in the desert. And he gets up and he goes down to the desert, and when he gets there, he finds a sinner. You know, sometimes God sends us to the desert, and we get so discouraged and distraught and feel like God's forsaken us and punishing us for doing something wrong. Listen, he's in the desert. He hasn't done wrong. He hasn't done anything wrong. God's not punishing him. God's not punishing Philip. He just said, get up and go. Philip said, okay, Lord, if you want me to go stand in the desert, I'll go stand in the desert. Philip left all that was going on up there, and he gets to the desert, and lo and behold, he finds the same sinners there that he found up there. The problem is we get to the desert and we quit looking. We get to the desert and we start feeling sorry for ourselves. We get to the desert and we think, oh, what have I done? I've done something wrong. There must be sin in my life. There's got to be something wrong or God wouldn't be sending me to... Listen, you don't always get sent to the desert for punishment. Sometimes you get sent there because there's a sinner down there that only you can reach. Sometimes there may be prisons that Brother Dusty goes in and talks to one man that he's the only guy that can do it. But if he's not willing to go into prison and stand, he'll never find that sinner. Listen, folk, sinners are found in the desert. We've got desert all around us. All around here in Madisonville, Hanson, Oak Grove, Clarksville, Somerset, all the towns and cities that are represented here. It's all desert and there's all sinners out there. We've got to be willing to let God send us there in order to work. The problem is we want to stay where it's nice and cushy. When God comes to us with a proposition like He did Philip, and we're up here where it's all cushy, and God said, I want you to get up and go down to the desert, we're like, now wait a minute. Don't want to do that. Don't want to go there. Hey, listen, I'm trying to say tonight, we've got to stand where God tells us to stand. And He told Philip to get up from Jerusalem and go to the desert. And when Philip got there, guess what he found? A sinner. Number two, Look at verse 29. Verse 26, get up and go. Verse 27, he got up and went. Verse 28, this guy was returning, sitting in his chair, reading Isaiah the prophet. Look at verse 29. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to this chariot. You know what he found? Listen, he would have never found this had he not gone to the desert. You know what he found? The same Spirit that was in Jerusalem was the same Spirit he found in the desert.
Hey, the same Spirit that was working in Jerusalem where people were being saved and the Word of God was being preached was the same Spirit that Philip found in the desert.
That's what the Bible says. The Spirit of the Lord said to Philip, it was the Spirit of the Lord that spoke unto him in verse 26. When he was in Jerusalem, the Spirit of the Lord came and told him to go. And then in verse 29, the Spirit of the Lord came to Philip again and said, go and join yourself to that chariot. He found, not only did he find sinners in the desert, but he found that the same Spirit that was with him up in Jerusalem was the same Spirit that was standing with him in the desert. The Spirit had been with him in the city, and now the Spirit was him in the hot, hard, hazardous desert. Hey, listen. The same Spirit that is with you tonight is the same Spirit that was with you last night. It's the same Spirit to be with you tomorrow. He doesn't change. He doesn't change. He promised not to leave us nor forsake us. That's what he said in Hebrews 13:5. He said, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. If you read it backwards, it says the same thing, by the way. Thee forsake, nor thee leave, never will I. Read it. That's what it says. I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. Thee forsake, nor thee leave, never will I. I don't care if you read it forwards and backwards. God said he would never leave you. And Philip would have never known, he would have never known that had he not been willing to go to the desert where God told him to stand. The problem is, most of us aren't willing to go to the desert. And we don't know that same Spirit that's with us in the good times, same one's with us in the bad times. Hey, listen. He found a sinner in the desert. He found the same Spirit in the desert. Look at verse 32. We'll look at verse 28 first. Talking about the Ethiopian eunuch, was returning and sitting in his chariot, read Isaiah the prophet. Now drop down to verse 32. The place of the scripture which he read was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearers, so opened he not his mouth. Look at verse 34. The eunuch answered Philip and said, hey, I pray thee, of whom speakest the prophet this? Of himself or of some other man? Verse 35. Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. Hey, the same Bible. The same Bible that you'll find in the fruitful places of your life is the same Bible that you'll find when you're in the desert places of your life. It does not change. God promised to preserve it. By the way, I don't think I'll get in trouble for saying this here. I said it in my pulpit, so I'm pretty sure I can say it here and not get shot. It's still inspired. I might as well park there for a second. Just because God preserved it does not mean it lost its inspiration. If it was inspired before he preserved it, it's inspired after he preserved it. We got a good illustration of that down at our church. You make strawberry preserves and you seal it in a jar. A year from now, when you open the jar,
today, it's still strawberries. It's still preserved. It's just, hey, it's the same way when you open it the second time as it was when it went in the first time. I'm saying tonight, this is still the infallible, the inspired, the inerrant Word of God, the old King James Bible. And the same scripture that he found up in Jerusalem where all the revival was going on was the same scripture he found down in the desert that old Ethiopian eunuch was reading on his way back to Ethiopia. The same scripture. How do you know it was the same scripture? Because the Bible said that Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture to preach unto him Jesus. That's what it said. S-A-M-E. Same. By the way, you can't translate something from a corrupt text to make a good Bible. You know what? Let's go back to your strawberries for a minute. I was thinking of that when you said this. You know what? When you're preserving those things up, if you put a bad strawberry in that jar, that whole jar will be bad. So I don't care, Brother Noah, I don't care if they just take two words out. If they just take only two, they still took two out. That still makes it corrupt. That still makes it bad. By the way, they took more than two. In fact, one of the most serious places that they take Scripture out is in the book of Acts. Right here. In the text I'm reading to you tonight. They just leave out verse 37. They just leave it out. If you look at verse 36, and as they went on their way, there came unto the certain water, and the eunuch said, listen to what he asked, see, here's water, what doth hinder me to be baptized? In their book, it says, and he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down to water both, and both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him, or something similar to that. That doesn't answer the question that he asked in verse 36. Verse 36, he said, hey, here's water, what doth hinder me? They leave out the part that says, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I don't care if the rest of their whole book is right. If that ain't in there, it's corrupt and wrong. And it is inspired. I don't care what they say. Like I said, if we stand, ain't always going to be nice and cozy. So he found a sinner in the desert. He found the Spirit in the desert. He found the Scriptures in the desert. Number four, look at verse 37. I just quoted it. And Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He found the salvation of God in the desert. He found the salvation of the Lord in the desert. Of all places. Hot, hazardous, hard. And yet in that desolate place, he still found the salvation of the Lord. Hey, he found the salvation of the Lord. You know what's amazing? Is that God can save people in dry places as well as fruitful places. He wanted Philip to know, hey, I know all those people up there in Jerusalem getting saved. I know y'all having a big revival up there. I know y'all having a big shouting time up there. I know things are going great up there. But I just want to show you that I'm the same God down here as I am up there. Here's the same Spirit. Here's the sinner. Here's the same Scripture. And here's the same salvation in the desert. That's up in Jerusalem. Fellas, we're going to go to the desert. Sometimes God's going to ask us, listen, not to punish us. He just needs us to go down there.
there may be a sinner down there that needs to be saved. We've got to be willing to go down there and understand that when we get there, we're going to find the same. We're going to find the same sinners. We're going to find the same scriptures. We're going to find the same spirit. And we're going to find the same salvation there that we found over here when everything was fruitful and nice. It's the same. It doesn't matter. Listen, it doesn't matter where God tells you to stand. The message doesn't change. The place of standing may change. He may want you to stand here for a little while. And then he may want you to stand over here for a little while. And then he may want you to stand over there for a little while. Or he may want you to stand over there for a little while. Hey, listen, just because you're standing here, 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 or here doesn't matter. The message doesn't change where we stand. He found the same thing in the desert that he found up in Jerusalem where he came from. He found the salvation of the Lord in the desert. Look at verse 39. I'm almost done, I promise. Verse 37, he said, hey, I believe. Verse 38, and he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. So here we've got Philip, and he's up in Jerusalem, and he's told to go down to the desert. And when he gets there, he finds a sinner. And when he gets there, he finds the Spirit. And when he gets there, he finds the Scriptures. And when he gets there, he finds the same salvation of God. And number five, he found a supernatural event in the desert. You see, I believe that God, there are things that God will do in the desert that he will do no place else other than the desert. He won't do these kind of things in fruitful places. He only does them in the desert. You know what? Philip would have never experienced this supernatural event had he not gone and stood in the desert. You say, what are you talking about, preacher? A supernatural event. Well, look at what it says. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more. In other words, they're in the water. He baptizes him. They come up out of the water, and Philip's gone. You know what it says? Listen, I don't know about you, but to me, that's pretty supernatural. Hey, listen, it would be pretty supernatural right now if Brother Donnie Houghton just disappeared. Can I just say, it would get my attention. And here they are. What hinders me? You know? You got to believe. Well, I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. Okay, well, let's stop. Let's go down to the water. Okay, baptizes him. They come up out of the water, and Philip is caught away. I bet that got the old Ethiopians' attention. Don't you reckon? Do you understand the night that God could have never done that supernatural event in the life of Philip if Philip stayed in Jerusalem? He would have never experienced that supernatural event had he not gone to the desert to stand where God told him to. Fellas, listen. When God tells us to go to the desert, let's just do like Philip and say, okay, I'll go, because you don't know what you're going to find down there. You don't know what God's going to do down there. You may experience one of your own supernatural events. The Bible said that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Is that not what the Scripture says? So if He could do it then, He can do it now. If He could catch Philip away out of the sight of the Ethiopian eunuch in the middle of the desert, then you know what? He could still do that today if He wanted to. But Philip would have never experienced that supernatural event in his life had he not gone to the desert where God had told him to go stand. Men, we've got to be willing to go to the desert. But preacher, I don't like it in the desert. I don't think God asked him if he liked it. I couldn't find that in my Bible. Now, maybe that's in some of them other perversions. I don't know. I couldn't find it in mine where God said, well, now just go if you like it. No. Listen, he just told him to go, and Philip got up and went. And that's what we've got to be willing to do. We're so afraid of the desert. And I don't think we need to fear the desert. If God's leading us there, I don't think we need to fear it. I think we ought to go down there and learn from it. We ought to go down there and glean from it, because apparently when God wants us to go there, there's something he wants us to learn. There's something he wants us to experience in our lives to help us in our walk. Philip was caught away. A supernatural event. Look at verse 40. Now verse 39 said, they went into the water, they came up out of the water, and the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip. The eunuch saw him no more. He went on his way rejoicing. But Philip was found at Azotus. And passing through, he preached in all the cities till he came to Caesarea. Guess what? He left the desert supernaturally and was found in Azotus. Is that what it said? Azotus is north of Gaza. And the Bible said he preached up to the coast of Caesarea. What do you think he was preaching, folk? Huh? What do you think he was preaching? The same Jesus he was preaching in the chariot to the Ethiopian eunuch. Only now, he's got a supernatural experience that he can say, hey, guess, can you imagine being in Azotus and all of a sudden Philip shows up? Could you imagine tonight in this service right now, it's about 10 minutes till 9, in this service right now, I mean right now, if somebody just appeared on that pew right there. Brother Clark, would that get your attention, brother? It'd get my attention. I promise you. He's down in the desert and all of a sudden he's in Azotus. Preaching. Preaching the same Jesus he preached in the desert. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying when he was standing in Jerusalem, he was preaching Jesus. When he went and stood in the desert, he was preaching Jesus. And when he was supernaturally taken out of the desert and sent to Azotus, when he hit the ground, he was still preaching Jesus. You know what we need to do? Preach Jesus. Amen. He's the only one that can do anything for us anyway. Can you just not hear Philip testifying, though? Can you just not hear him? Boy, let me tell you, I was up in Jerusalem. We was having such a wonderful time. I mean, people getting saved. The glory of God was there. People were shouting. They were waving their hankies. They were just having a big time. And God said, get up and go to the desert. So, man, I got up and I went down to the desert like God said. And when I got down there, I found a sinner. And man, I found the same Spirit. And he was reading the Scripture. And he got saved. And I baptized him. And all of a sudden, when I come up out of the water, now I'm here preaching to you. What a testimony. But he would have never experienced that had he not gone to stand in the desert where God told him to go stand. God didn't leave him in the desert. He just asked him to stand there for a little while. Long enough for that little chariot to come by, for that Ethiopian eunuch to hear the gospel, to be baptized and get saved and get baptized. And then God said, okay, now I want you to go stand in Azotus. And up there he went. Number 6. He found shouting in the desert. The Bible said that after Philip was caught away, the Ethiopian eunuch went on his way rejoicing. I don't know, but somehow I just believe that Philip probably heard a little bit of that before he got zoomed out. He found some shouting in the desert. That's the difference in him and most of us. It's when we get in the desert, it's woe is me, instead of praise God. Listen, I still believe in old time church, old time worship. I still believe in shouting. Now, it may not be popular in your church, but that's okay. Eventually, you'll figure it out. I believe that shouting's biblical. I mean, the book of Psalms talks about shouting. Why do we've let people take our shout? You know what I've determined? I am not going to let them take my shout anymore. It doesn't matter whether I'm in the fruitful place or whether I'm in the desert. I'm still going to praise God no matter what. You say, yeah, preacher, that's easy for you to say. Hey, listen, down where I pastor, there's a whole lot of people that don't ever come back from where they go. There were people the first time when I was there that didn't come back to Germany where we came back to. I understand heartache and I understand all that. But I'm not going to let them take my shout. Amen.
Praise the Lord.
I sang in a quartet in Maryland when I was there in the Army. And we sang down close to Baltimore somewhere. And I mean, listen, you could have ice skated all the way down. It was that cold. We got up and sung our hearts out. I mean, sung our hearts out. You ever been there? Fun, ain't it? Ben, you ever been there? Makes it really easy to sing, don't it? When you're up there trying to pour your heart out and smile and singing about Jesus, and they're all out there going. I don't know what song we were singing. I just wasn't singing at that moment. Somebody else was singing a part. And I don't remember the song now. But whatever it was got my attention. I try to carry a handkerchief with me everywhere I go. Sometimes it's red, sometimes it's white. But I try to carry one all the time. Listen, I'm not above waving it either. Whatever song it was, I don't know, but whatever line that Ralph sang, Ralph Patrick was singing the lead, whatever line he sang in the song, God just kind of got my attention. And of course, he's playing the piano. And the three of us are standing over here. You know how you're supposed to do. You know you're supposed to turn and look at them while they're singing. I don't understand that, but you're supposed to. And so I'm standing here and Kurt Olin is standing here, and Bill Pennington is standing here, and I'm in the middle. Well, Kurt and Bill, neither one are very emotional. They don't shout and all that kind of stuff. And they certainly weren't shouting. He hit that line of that song. I don't remember what it was. But I said, glory! You'd have thought that I had committed the unpardonable sin. Do you think it bothered me that they didn't move like I moved? Hey, obviously they didn't get what I got. I'm saying to us tonight, we've got to stand. And no matter where we're standing, our shout needs to be the same. Benjamin, if I can shout when y'all are singing, then Scott, I should be shouting when you're preaching. The problem is we got people that'll shout at singing that won't give a holy grunt to preaching. The same shout that Philip had up in Jerusalem when everybody was getting saved and the glory of God was coming down was the same shout that he had in the desert when he found an old sinner down there and realized, hey, the same Spirit's down here and the same Scripture's down here and the same salvation's down here. His shout was the same no matter where he was. And ours has to be too. Our shout has to be the same. Brother Downey, whether we're down or up, we still ought to be shouting. Here's the thing. Whether we're in the desert or whether we're not, we're still saved. Still saved, still going to heaven. So whether things are bad or whether things are good, whether you're in a fruitful place or whether you're in the desert, the same God's up there, same God down here. And if it's the same God up there and the same God down here, then the same shout up there ought to be the same shout we have down here. Our shout should not be governed by whether somebody's singing or preaching. Our shout should be governed by who's living in us.
Amen. Good. Amen.
And I've just decided that, hey, I'm saved, I'm going to heaven, might as well enjoy getting there. I just think you ought to stand. Wherever God tells you to stand, I think you should stand. One last story and I'm done. When I went to the first Gulf War, I was assigned to the 3rd Armored Division. And we got orders to go and we flew in over there and we got our little place set up. And they had us staying at an old concrete plant that they had shut down. And so we're set up in that compound waiting for all of our equipment to come in. And of course, everybody that I work with knows that I'm saved, and they know I'm a preacher, and you know nobody wants to be around me because I want to talk about God, and nobody wants to talk about God, and I want to read my Bible. Nobody wants to do that, and so nobody wanted to hang around me. Nobody wanted to be around me. I kind of had to do things by myself, which is fine with me. Me and God, we just got along fine, so it's okay. And so we get there, and our equipment comes in, and we get all, and we move out into the desert, and we set up, and we're waiting for the order to cross over. About 2 hours before the order comes down to cross over, the order comes down, put on your chemical suit. We call it, it's a mop suit. And basically it's a big green overgarment that you put on and zip up. I doubt very seriously if it would save you from anything. But we had to put it on. Now understand, I was standing in Frankfort with Brother Ronnie Munson at First Missionary Baptist Church in Hanau. That's where I was standing. I didn't want to go to the desert. In fact, we found out from CNN that we were going to the desert before we found out from our own people that we were going to the desert. So the order comes down to put on our mop suits, so we're all ripping open the plastic, we're putting our mop suits on, and about 2 hours later we get the order to move out. Well, between the mop suits and the order to get out, to go over, all of a sudden, out in the desert, because God had sent me there to stand, and I was willing to stand. Hey, listen, those guys, when we'd go eat our MREs, they would see me pray over that nasty food. There was, listen, I really felt like a hypocrite asking God to bless that. That was some nasty stuff, Brother Donnie. But they'd see me pray over my food, and they'd see me read my Bible, and at night, we'd go down. I got off in the morning because I worked the night shift. I'd go down to my tent. Before I'd go to bed, I'd get my Bible out, and I'd read, and two or three guys would be in there fixing to go to bed, and they'd see me read my Bible, and I'd get down and pray. And so they saw all that. So we get the order to put on the mop suits. Over here, we get the order to move out. Well, somewhere between here and here, I had about 9 guys that came up. And they said, "Son Clark, can we ride in your truck?" Like, wait a minute. For all this time, you ain't had nothing to do with me. Now all of a sudden we're going to cross over, and now you want to ride in my truck. Do you know why? Because I was willing to go where God told me to go and stand. And my shout was the same in the desert over in Saudi Arabia and Iraq as it was over in Frankfurt, Germany before I ever left. I'll never forget Easter morning. I got up before the sun come up. And I went out and I looked toward the east. And I saw that little orange dot just kind of peek up a little. And it just kept on coming. Most beautiful sight I've ever seen was that sunrise on that Easter Sunday morning. Listen, we're still in perimeter. War's over, but we're still in perimeter. Still supposed to be quiet and all that stuff. Can I just tell you my shout was the same over there as it was over here? Because when the sun come up, I was out there by my... Brother Noah, I was by myself out in the desert watching the sun come up saying, glory, glory, glory. My shout was the same. And it ought to be it ought to be the same no matter where we're standing. I'm just saying, everything today talked about standing. I'm just saying, we've got to be willing to stand where He tells us to stand. And if we'll do it, God will bless it. We've just got to be obedient. Bow our heads for prayer. Brother Lawrence, you come. I'm finished.